The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, January 1st through Sunday, January 7th, 2024. The commentary for January was written by Atlanta-based author and speaker Beth Sarah Wright. Now, she writes about developing the courage for transformation. Her book, entitled Dignity, was the 2023 Book of the Year by the National Association of Episcopal Schools. She is married to Robert C. Wright, the Bishop of the Diocese of Atlanta, and they are parents to five children. The commentary for Monday, January 1st, the first day of the new year of 2024, begins as follows, with a passage from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 7 through 8. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Here's the commentary for this first day of the year. The Apostle Paul beautifully writes, or rather invites us to emulate and take on the mind of Christ Jesus, which begins with humble obedience. For many of us, obey can seem like a four-letter word filled with fearsome images, but it doesn't have to be. With God, obedience is a doorway to freedom, transformation, purpose, and joy. Its Hebrew root is shema, which means to hear. James urges the early followers of Jesus to be not only hearers of the word, but also doers. How do we hear and respond to God's dream for us? Must we exhibit some superhuman, radical obedience to live into God's dream? Thank goodness the answer is no. To be radically obedient simply means to respond to the root of God's dream in us, etched into our DNA. What makes an unwed young woman say yes when she hears she is to be the mother of the Messiah? She offers an authentic response to God's dream for her. When we obey God's dream, we, just like Mary, become more authentically who we are meant to be. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Let the same mind be in you that is and was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And, being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And the moving forward question for this first day of the new year, how will you respond to God's dream for you? The commentary for Tuesday, January 2nd, begins with a passage from Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall ever be in my mouth. We often profess grand resolutions for ourselves at the beginning of a new year. We may even pray to God for new beginnings and new opportunities and the fulfillment of these resolutions. But this psalm begins with praise for God. No requests, no petitions, just praise to God at all times. In times of doubt, fear, joy, or clarity, all times. We don't only praise when things go our way or when we get what we want. We praise because God's being draws praise from us. How about we try something new this new year? Let us praise God for all that we will encounter. Let us praise God as we take the first breath of the day, as we greet our faces and bodies in the mirror or head to the job we may struggle to love. Let us praise God as darkness cloaks growth and learning, and when light breaks through the night. Let us magnify God's name continually in our mouths and see what will happen. And now I'm going to read the entire Psalm 34, all about praise. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes it boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Look to him, and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed. This poor soul cried, and was heard by the Lord, and was saved from every trouble. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him. O fear the Lord, you his holy ones, for those who fear him have no want. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Which of you desires life and covets many days to enjoy good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord rescues them from them all. He keeps all their bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil brings death to the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. And the moving forward question for this day is, this week, begin your prayer time by praising God. How does this intention shape the rest of the conversation? Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, January 3rd. It begins with a passage from the book of John, chapter 6, verse 20. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." I have heard people claim that the phrase, "Do not be afraid," is written 365 times in the Bible, a reminder for each day. Whether it's 365 or 100 times, the admonition against fear is a common theme throughout Scripture. God's desire for us is that we should live with the confidence and the power of knowing that God is with us, and we need not feel any fear. But fear exists. We experience fear of the unknown and a failure, especially at the beginning of a new year with laudable aspirations. We fear that we are not enough, or that sometimes we are too much. But the truth is that even when the waters are rough and we feel we are drowning, we need not fear, for God is always with us. There will always be opportunities to be afraid. We are human, after all. But imagine going through life facing those moments with the blessed assurance that God is all around us, inside us, on our lips, in our hearts, in our minds, and in our hands. Change remains constant. God remains unchanged. We need not fear. God is with us. Emmanuel. And now I'm going to read the full passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 15 through 27. When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. The next day the crowd that had stayed on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there. They also saw that Jesus had not gotten into the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." And the moving forward statement or suggestion for this Wednesday, January 3rd, is write the words, "Do not be afraid," on some sticky notes. Put them on your mirror, desk, or dashboard, and thank God. The commentary for Thursday, January 4th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 9, verses 36 through 38. He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Is there such a thing as spiritual blindness, unable to see God's work and help, even when it is right in front of you? You might have heard the story about a man stranded in a flood on his rooftop, waiting for God to come and save him. A boat comes by and offers rescue, and the man responds, "No, I'm waiting on God to save me." A helicopter with a rope hovers, and he says, "No, I am waiting for God to save me." Eventually, the flood takes him over, and he drowns. When the man sees God in heaven, he asks, "Lord, I believed in you, and I waited for you to come and save me. Why didn't you come?" And God responds, "Oh, my son, I sent you a boat and a helicopter." When God reveals God's work to us, let us be keen and ready to see and believe it. God works in mysterious ways and blatantly obvious ways, too. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of John, chapter 9, verses 1 through 12, and then verses 35 through 38. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is the day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back, able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." Now verses 35 through 38. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. And the moving forward question for this Thursday is, do you suffer from spiritual blindness? How can you open your eyes and more fully recognize God's work in and around you? Now let's take a look at the commentary for Friday, January 5th. It begins with a passage from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm." Everything tells a story. The way we eat and worship, the way we move, and even the clothes we wear tell stories about who we are. The fashion statement described in this scripture boasts a powerful story. Each accessory we don has a message of fortitude, courage, confidence, hope, and peace. Fashion psychology suggests that the clothes we wear can affect our behavior and allow us to take on challenges in our work and our personal lives. You know the difference it makes to wear clothes you love. Imagine what challenges we could conquer if we dressed like this in the whole armor of God. And now I'm going to read the full passage here from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak." And the moving forward question for this day, what pieces of God's armor do you need to put on today? And now let's turn to the commentary for Saturday, January 6th, which is the Feast of the Epiphany. It begins with a passage from Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." When I had nightmares as a child, my father taught me to recite Psalm 27 for comfort. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear?" This divine light staves off fear. It's a light that brings comfort and calm and allows us to see in the darkness. But over the years, as I have recited this prayer throughout my life at some of the most challenging intersections, I have come to realize that I have this light within me. As children of God, we all have this light, and it is up to us to shine this light in the world. We too can bring calm and peace with this light. We too can bring comfort and courage with this light in our words and actions and in our very beings. Yes, self-doubt and lack of self-confidence may suppress the light, and others may try to squelch our light with unkind words. But the light of God yearns to shine and longs to be seen. It is unwavering, unextinguishable, and even contagious. Light will always make a way. Let your light shine. And the moving forward question for you for this day is, how will you let your light shine today? And now as we get near the end of the program for this week, let's take a look at the commentary for Sunday, January 7th, the first Sunday of the season of Epiphany. The commentary begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 4. "John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins." The Greek root of the word repentance is metanoia, which simply means to change one's mind. That sounds manageable, and changing our mind sounds like something we can do. In his wild and unique way, John exhorts us to change how we think, see, and live in the world through the practice of baptism. He is very clear about who he is and what his purpose is in the world. He is not influenced by what people may think about him, the way he dresses, what he eats, or what he proclaims. He is authentically John, wild, weird, and willful. There is freedom in shifting our minds toward more authentic living, where what we think and do align. When we achieve this baptism of repentance, we can discover not only freedom, but also joy, hope, courage, and clear purpose. Thanks be to God. And now I'm going to read this entire passage here from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. "John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, 'The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.' In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart, and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, my Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And now here's a second passage for this Sunday. It is from Acts 19, verses 1 through 7. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the interior regions and came to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" They replied, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Then he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" They answered, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they were spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, there were about 12 of them. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, January 7th, the first Sunday of Epiphany: are you living in a way that is authentic to your faith? How can you shift toward this alignment between what you think and what you do? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let us pray. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day, and I'd like to wish you and your family a very happy and prosperous new year in this year of 2024. Thank you for listening to Reflections throughout the year. I hope it is special for you and your family. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.